you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
That's right.
Up for another day of broadcast insolence.
I put my medium weight coat on today, and it wasn't enough.
That's really true.
Was not enough.
I know. I thought it was vest weather, but...
Right. Didn't you sort of say, oh, okay, I can handle this. This little change in the weather. Went out this morning, put on like that kind of a wool coat. I was like...
You know what happened? What had happened was it got windy.
That's true.
And that's and
it doesn't
the wind,
not help.
The wind. And now, if this were like 50 degrees and still skies, still air. Mm-hmm. What's the word I'm looking for? Not windy, calm. We'd probably be okay with the sun. But when that wind's coming like straight out of the north. I don't want to do Tom Skilling's job for him because Tom can do his own job.
He'll be here later to
at
do
4 o'clock. But I believe the wind out of the north is colder than the wind that comes out of the south.
Well, that's the North Pole, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And as Violetta once pointed out on this program, the South Pole is much warmer than the North Pole because it's south.
Huh.
Learn
something every day on the show.
Think.
Yes, right. Yeah. Even Tom went, what?
What are we talking about?
Anyway, all right. So the temperature is definitely, there is a clear change. It was 85 degrees, too hot.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this week.
Well, not too hot. I enjoy those little bursts of summer just to sort of keep you warm because you know what's coming. They're little gimme get days. But now you're right. It's from 80s to 30s in 1 week.
Mm-hmm. So it's the real field temperature, whatever we call it around here. The real field. But I think Brent is going to sue me for that, right? Isn't that his thing?
Yeah, that trademarked over at NBC.
Who's got the real feel? Anyway, but
somebody.
The point is, it's cold. It just doesn't feel right.
And I feel like any semblance of a summer tan I had just went away overnight. Just sort of went away.
Yeah.
And then your skin turns gray, and you just, that's it.
That truly is white people problems right there. It really is. That's the definition. That's the definition of white people problems.
Yeah.
My tan is kind of, it's
gone.
I can't believe what I'm doing here.
Yeah. My tan lasts for like 45 minutes, even in the summer. I get off the golf course, I'm in the clubhouse, gone by the time I get to my car. So this is the time of year when I'm like Casper the Friendly Guy. I'm just completely
you
white.
You are the whitest man that has ever lived.
Yes,
yeah.
Outside of summer, just like completely translucent, basically.
This is that time of year.
Yeah. So this is going to be this is, we got to get used to it, though. This is what we trained all summer for. This is where we were at summer and we were kicking back and, and you know, the birds were flying and the bees were singing or whatever
buzzing.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And now there's an overnight frost advisory in Porter County, Indiana overnight.
Oh, God.
So there you go.
Oh, God.
So when you got to start beefing up. A lot of pork, a lot of beer. Get ready for the winter.
Chili.
Yeah.
That's true. I do all look forward to the winter food.
So we will. All right. Well, I'm feeling better now.
Yeah.
You said
thanks.
That, Matt, really.
Thanks, Kev.
All right. On the program, Kanye made Donald Trump look like the most reasonable man in the world today.
How about that rant? Tough
what
to
a good
follow.
Listener Donald Trump is.
He was. He sat there with his hands folded on his desk, and he did that thing where he almost was like a therapist. Mm-hmm. Now, how does that make you feel, Kanye?
Everything you're saying is perfectly reasonable.
Kanye, at one point, was extolling the virtues of Larry Hoover. Now, a lot of people are not going to know. White people are not going to know who Larry Hoover is.
I know who Larry Hoover is.
Larry Hoover is one of the most infamous gangsters in the history of the United States of America, let alone Chicago.
Founded the Gangster Disciples.
Right. Which has basically been, for the last more than half century, a killing machine. Mm-hmm. Responsible for thousands upon thousands of deaths.
Wrecking terror in certain neighborhoods in this city.
Right.
Between the gang trade, the drug trade, and all kinds of criminal activity, including murders.
And Kanye is
violent crime.
Asking for King Larry, as he's known to his disciples, literally to his disciples. I mean, people have heard of Jeff Fort maybe in town because of the El Rukin trial, right? There was the Jeff Fort trial. Jeff Fort was the head. Jeff Fort was the opposite number of Larry Hoover. Larry Hoover was, you know, running the disciples, and Jeff Fort was running the El Rukins, which was an offshoot of the old Blackstone Rangers. And so this is, you know, the people and the folks. Those are the two nations of tribes in Chicago, of gangs in Chicago, I should say. The two nations, people and folks. It's like the AFC and the NFC, if you will, of the gangs. I hate to put it in that kind of term, but at least you'll understand what I'm saying here. And they don't often get along. Sometimes they get together on certain things, but not very often. And they're mostly trying to kill each other. on the streets. And Larry Hoover went, and Larry Hoover is in the super, super, super max prison.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanye is all upset about that. And so, and Donald Trump's like, so what do you do? Because he, you know, Donald Trump's from New York. He's not familiar. And Kanye tried to explain it away by saying, well, it was, you know, a conspiracy while he was in state jail. And so it's not really, that was alleged anyway. It was alleged. He was running the gang from the state prison system down in Versailles, actually. They moved him out of up here down to as far as they could get him away from Chicago. And he was still running the street gang from there. They have him on tape doing
right.
it. There is nothing alleged about it.
There was wiretaps and a lengthy federal investigation that produced a lot of evidence showing that he was ordering
murders
from prison.
Yes.
And running the drug trade.
So, I mean, Kanye may not want to believe that, but maybe he should do a little research, because he likes to do research. In the meantime, he's going to build a plane.
He's going to change the MAGA hat to the MAG hat, because African-Americans don't like the again part, but they would be game with the Make America Great part. And that when he wears it, it makes him feel like he's wearing a Superman cape, he said. Puts his hat on, that's how he feels.
I think a lot of people feel invincible when wearing that hat.
That's true. I will say this. They do feel entitled to say anything that's on their mind. I will say that, yeah.
Confident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to tell you that you're wrong. They like to tell you you're wrong and they're right. And I haven't even opened my mouth yet. Although they see me and they know. They go, oh, I know you. You're wrong.
I like how Kanye dropped the F-bomb in the Oval Office today, though. It was particularly interesting.
Yeah, not the
MF.
Let me just say that. It's not the first time that's been dropped in that office.
The MF?
Oh. Donald yeah. Trump? Donald Trump is a renowned artist of the profane when it comes to that sort of stuff. When he's yelling at you, it's like just a blizzard of that. We are told by people who have experienced that.
Mm-hmm. So. Kanye also revealed to the world his iPhone passcode because all the cameras were rolling. He just logged on to his
phone.
Very
creative code, by the way.
00000.
I think I'm going to show you something. He tapped it.
Doesn't he have tech people?
And then Violetta's like, hey, that's mine.
All right. Stole mine.
All right. Wait, hold on one second. Let's check in. Speaking of Violetta, let's check in first with Kim, find out what's coming up. The WGN is at the bottom of the hour.
Roe Kanye rants, not raps, at the White House today during a meeting with President Trump.
We will play this. We will play this pretty much in its entirety a little bit later on in the program.
Let's stop worrying about the future. All we really have is today. We just have today. Over and over and over again, the eternal return, the hero's journey. And Trump is on his hero's journey right now. And he might not have expected to have a crazy mother like Kanye West run up and support, but best believe we are going to make America great.
There you go. Here's Kanye.
Hero's journey.
Hero's journey. Yeah, he's he is artful in his explanation of all of this. Lourdes Duarte is joining us from the WGN-TV newsroom, and
she
looks like a hostage right now in the CLTV cameras. That's all I'm going to say.
Follow that.
Yeah, she's like, I don't really want to be a part of this, please. Whatever you're going to do here, I don't need it.
I'm already exhausted.
Yes. I mean,
it was hard to follow. Really was.
You know, a lot of Chicago news got broken in that appearance today by Kanye West in the Oval Office.
Yep, it sure did.
Yeah, I really tried to sort of pinpoint the focus, and I couldn't do it, but I did figure out a few things that he said, a few topics, because he touched on a lot, as you know. So he talked about stop and frisk.
Doesn't like it.
Manufacturing jobs? No, he doesn't like
it. Okay, we're going to take this one at a time.
Okay.
Does not like the manufacturing jobs he likes.
Okay, he likes. He says that would ease crime on the south side and west sides of Chicago.
And he wants to bring a Yeezy Innovation Laboratory along with Adidas to Chicago because he's in working with Adidas.
Yeah, I was wondering how Adidas kind of fit into this whole equation, but you explained it for me.
Yes, they got the Yeezy. The Yeezy inspired Adidas, and then they also, I think, they market the Yeezys as well, and so they got that whole thing going. And then he also wants to build. He's got the iPlane.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Oh, wait, we'll save that. Then,
save that
but
for
before
last.
We do that, he wants to get a pardon for Larry Hoover.
That's right.
One of the top three most in it. I mean, it basically goes down as Al Capone, Larry Hoover, Jeff Fort is the three most infamous gangbangers in the history of Chicago.
Yep, you're right. He did talk about that. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else do I have here? You talked about better plane for the president. He says that, you know, the president should be on a plane where he looks fresh and he looks cool and he's got the best stuff because he's representing us. And if we make him look good, we look good. So that was one topic of conversation.
Wait, do we have that iPlane thing here? Wait, hold on. Let's just play it to get it. Are you afraid to play this?
I feel like I can't do it justice. I need you guys to really play it up.
And what we want to start with is I brought a gift with me right here. This right here is the iPlane 1. It's a hydrogen-powered airplane, and this is what our president should be flying in. Look at this jerk.
Mm-hmm. So get rid of Air Force One. Can we get rid of Air Force One? You don't like that.
Whoa, there was hold on. All right. Okay. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, it's
Does
again.
Does he need a new plane?
Again, it's just this is all too much for me. But I want. We'll play it all a little bit later on. But I do think it is just absolutely astounding and amazing that Donald Trump looked like the most reasonable man in the world today while he was sitting across from mm-hmm. Kanye West. Because he was totally, he does have patience.
Yes, he was a good listener during all of that, for sure. I mean, he could have interrupted at any point, but he let him talk.
He even called him a smart cookie at one point.
Oh, my God.
And a genius.
Yes. Do we go on? Time is a myth, apparently, was something else that he talked about. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand that either.
All right, well, let's play it, and let's see if we can all understand it.
All right.
Best believe we are going to make America great. Now, the thing is, another thing is black people have an issue with the word again. And I believe my feeling from that is because I'm going to go all the way, Sigmund, with it, because time is a myth. All we have is now. All we have is today. So the word again, it doesn't hurt us because of the idea of racism and slavery and different things. It hurts us because we need to focus on who we are.
Okay.
Now.
All right. These are all, Brian, I just want to say these are all too long for me because he makes 4 points in 20 seconds.
So true.
It's like there's five people in his head all talking at once.
Yes, there are five people in his head talking all at once.
Yes.
And you can't remember where he started when he answers or finishes the second part.
Yeah,
or the third part.
I'm going to try to make a little bit more better sense of it, and I'll get back to you.
Hey, Lourdes, so
it took me some time.
He also mentioned moving back to Chicago again.
Did he at some point? I know he said
he said something like, he enjoyed attending the White Sox game, and he reiterated that
he did talk about that, taking his kid to a White Sox game.
Move back to Chicago and his time at the trendy Soho House with Michael Sachs, who's
That's
top
right.
campaign donor
to Mayor
Emanuel.
That was going to be my other thing, that he said he was at Soho House. I don't know. Does he mean that he was at Soho House here in Chicago?
Yes.
Or like Soho House in New York or something like that?
No, I think he means here, with Michael Sachs here.
And with the superintendent. Chicago Police Superintendant, no?
It's all blunt.
Did you hear that?
I think that's
talking about crime and stop and frisk.
And he said Levi's are made in Vietnam, but they need to be made in Chicago. So
let me add that one to the list.
Okay. How are you going to cover this tonight?
Okay.
I mean,
it's really enough. I mean, thank God WGN has 22 hours of news a day. So
they're the only ones who will be able to cover this.
Hey, I'm working with Tom Negevin tonight, so he will fill you all in. He's got it all covered. I'm going to leave it to him.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
He made a lot of news. I don't know that any of it makes any kind of sense. But, you know, maybe mm-hmm. if we can get... I'm not going to go with him on putting the President of the United States on a plane that he's designing.
Is this plane... Is it out there already? Or is this just in... Is it just a GIF?
Or is it in his mind?
No, it's in his mind.
So it has been created.
Yeah, and I'm not good with letting Larry Hoover out of the clink. But if he wants to bring manufacturing jobs back to Chicago, I'm all for it.
Okay.
All right. So we'll go with that. All right. Lourdes, you got enough. That's enough. Thank you for
exhausted.
Doing this. I know. It's too much.
It's too much.
Thank you, Lourdes.
All right.
Thanks,
all right.
Lourdes.
Kim Gordon's got the WGN Radio News right now, brought to you by Permian Seal Basement Systems.
The entire country and give opportunities. A lot of times it's just the overall lack of reparations that we at any given point we say, oh, this is racist, this is racist, this is racist, this is racist. So we don't have the reparations, but we have the 13th Amendment. We got to open up the whole conversation.
The minute he mentioned reparations, Fox News Channel cut away from the White House. Oh, that's it. Okay, we got it.
Wolfie went dead.
Yeah. All right, that was the White House. Back to you, Shep. I don't even know what to make of what happened today at the White House. Kanye West, Chicago's very own, goes to the White House, makes a rambling, about 12 minutes, I think, in total, somewhere around there. Rambling speech to the president that covered everything from asking for a pardon for Larry Hoover. Arguably, you know, I said before the top three gangsters in the history of Chicago.
Yeah.
I put Capone at one. Capone doesn't deserve to be at one when you compare him to Larry Hoover in terms of numbers of people killed as a result of an individual's reign of terror.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not even close. And it's Larry Hoover is one of the most notorious gangsters who is now in federal prison in a supermax lockup because he was still running the gang from the state prison. And Kanye was a, do we have that part where he talks about the alleged, like the Larry Hoover? I would like to play the Larry Hoover thing. And then we've got Jeff Earle, who's been covering this for the Daily Mail, for Mail Online.
I don't even know what the headline would be. We have to ask him that.
But Jeff, hold on one second. I just want to play. I want to give you a little context because you're not from Chicago. So this Larry Hoover thing could like pass over people's heads who, you know, are like, I don't know who he's talking about. So let's just move on to whatever the next thing is. But this idea for Chicagoans is one of the most ridiculous things that's ever come out of any human's mouth, not just Kanye's mouth, any human's mouth.
Here we have Larry Hoover's lawyer with us today, and it's a prisoner that we're focused on. He has 6 life sentences, and they have him next to the Unabomber doing 23 and 1.
What did he do, Larry? What happened? What did he do?
Was he in?
Yes, tell me. Tell us the story.
Allegedly, it's for a conspiracy from state prison. It's alleged. But we do believe, even if he did commit those crimes, the sentence was overly broad.
What was the sentence?
6 consecutive life sentences in the most secure prison in the world, also known as the clean version of hell.
Mm-hmm. He left out the murder part.
Right. Running the drug
trade and gangs from prison.
All on tape, by the way. This is not...
Tons of evidence.
Very hard to say alleged because he's been convicted thereof. So, convicted of. Jeff?
Yes?
I just want to share that context with you from here in flyover land of Chicago, Illinois, that this is a moment where Chicagoans literally just kind of close their eyes really tightly. I don't care how you feel about Kanye's music, because he is an amazing artist. But this was insane what we watched happen here today. What's the reaction in Washington?
Well, you know, he was trying to take a page from his wife, Kim Kardashian, who actually had a great run out of her effort because she sat with the president, as you know, and brought up a case of a woman that was entirely different. She seemed to be a poster child of somebody who had been convicted for a nonviolent, much smaller offense and had her life, you know, upended with her sentence. And you're exactly right. The case Kanye picked up of Larry Hoover, it's not one that seems to cry out for reform, to clear, you know, 1 or 2 million people out of prisons on nonviolent drug offenses. It's bad stuff. And he was, as you say, convicted not once but twice. So, I mean, kudos to him for bringing whatever he wants to the president. But
No, I'm not going to let you get away with that. There are no kudos for that. If he wants to,
seems like the wrong guy. And there are plenty of people in prison, and we've seen plenty of examples of that even here in Illinois, for sure, of people who are wrongfully convicted, wrongfully. They have a history of there's evidence that didn't seem right against them, and there are a number of people who should be in front of the line before Larry Hoover, the founder of the Gangster Disciples.
And the president seemed, certainly not very well briefed on it. I mean, the first I sort of heard of it is when he went on SNL, he sort of wore the Larry Hoover. When Kanye went on Saturday Night Live, he wore the Free Larry Hoover sweatshirt, which sort of struck a lot of people as odd and unexplained. And the president certainly had been briefed by his staff that Kanye was going to raise this, which, you know, I'm surprised any politician would not want to be within 10 feet of this so-called cause.
Yeah, it's really not a cause. It's like Free the Unabomber. I mean, it's sort of like, right. I mean, of all the guys who are on Supermax, you know, it's a Unabomber or...
There's a reason they're there, typically.
Terry Nichols or any of the people who, you know, are there, who did, you know, massive crimes. I mean, there's a reason Larry's there. They got him. I mean, this is not a question of, oh, this poor guy got arrested and he didn't have enough money for bail and he had a public defender.
Right,
I mean,
kind of slammed through the system.
Yeah, this is not a case of that.
No, it isn't. You know, if you're going to give kudos to Kanye, the one thing I'll say is he is helping put money for the Regal Theater on 79th Street, the historical theater, where he got his start, and he's trying to put money in that into some of the neighborhoods and give back in that way, and he could be a very prominent voice and attract some deep pockets to those causes. And then he wants to bring manufacturing jobs back, as we were giving him credit for at the top here. But his Yeezys are manufactured in China.
Vietnam.
But they've got on Adidas' website says that some of them are in China, for sure.
The better ones. And then he was talking about Foxconn and how he wants to move stuff from...
But why wouldn't those be the first place to start? If you're going to meet with the president, why wouldn't you say, and I'm going to move production of my own sneakers to Chicago?
Yes, he could do that. He could do that, and his sneakers would then be $600 as opposed to $300. But okay,
but
he could
would
do
buy
it.
Them.
Yeah, but people will still buy them. Maybe.
Does this help him though?
I guess the president has been. Go ahead,
Jeff. Does this help him politically in some way? The president.
Well, you know, the president. Believe it or not, it might. I mean, he is very keen to show himself. With, you know, to get himself in the paper with a prominent African-American figure. He talks constantly about gains in African-American unemployment. And in the off-year elections, if he can sort of dampen turnout among, you know, a group that's traditionally a Democratic-based voters and peel a couple of percentages away, that might help. I mean, I don't know that, I mean, I think Kanye's positions are not very popular with even among, you know, fellow entertainers in the industry. So I don't know how much it's going to help him, but I think, you know, the president's plan is this month seems to be to sort of make news on every front possible and keep focus away from the midterms. And he's, you know, he's dominating the conversation in a lot of ways.
Now, Jim Brown, who was sitting next to him, the great athlete
and
civil rights pioneer, yeah. Right, didn't say
a lot.
Good
listener,
and
too.
Kid Rock was also there.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, now how does Kid Rock play into this whole thing? Where is he? I mean, it's sort of like, yeah, I'm going back to that hole. I got they're on the top of the Four Seasons. I got to go. I mean, go ahead.
You know who was uncharacteristically quiet was the President of the United States. He said almost nothing during the entire monologue.
Well, even he, I mean, that just
what
tells
you say?
That just tells you that there's a lot of performance in the president, because he knows, I think he does have an idea of when to fold him. He's just, you know, a riverboat gambler when it comes to folding. He just doesn't like to. He likes to bluff people away. Because, I mean, even today, where he's like, well, you know, I'll keep an open mind. Which you would never, ever say. Does he ever go to a rally in the middle of Iowa or in the middle of Mississippi? And does he ever at a rally go, and by the way, I'm keeping an open mind? No, never, right? No one ever says that at those rallies. But he does it here because he's very specific to the audience he thinks he's in front of. Oh my God, it was in frickin' sane what I just saw. All right, again, there's another story I want to ask you just very quickly about that.
Sure.
CNN is pushing the story that they, and I don't know if you guys have it at Daily Mail yet, that the White House lawyers are preparing the documents for Bob Mueller, the questionnaire that has been sent to the office of the president for his to explain some of the, I guess, to answer the questions that Bob Mueller has in regard to collusion. What do you guys know about that?
Well, and this is, you know, this is the fruit of negotiations that have gone on for almost a year. And it seems to be yet another signal that the Mueller probe is reaching some kind of a phase. I'm not going to say wrapping up, but a couple investigators have left. And this is going on. And the Trump team has, I think, been very effective in this. And they seem to have gotten him out of an in-person interview, which his lawyers identified would be cuckoo for him to participate in. And so, you know, he's going to have his legal minds. And even though they're not always great on TV, they're going to get to parse every sentence and give a very legally combed answer about collusion, and that should do the president some favors to do it in that fashion.
Yeah. All right. Jeff, I would like to apologize on behalf of Chicago. Mm-hmm. I would like to apologize on behalf of hip-hop. I would like to apologize on behalf of hat manufacturers. I don't know where to go here, and the Adidas Corporation. I don't. There's too many people to apologize for today. And does Kim... See, I just want to know this. When when Yeezy gets back on the plane and flies back to L.A. on his hypersonic see-through glass Superwoman plane or whatever he's going to be flying back to L.A.
The I-plane.
Does he... Does Kim move the kids out of the house? I mean, what happens there? You guys cover that stuff, too.
I don't think he did her cause any help today. I don't think he did her cause any help.
No, there we go. Okay, that was very, very judicious of you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. All right, there he is, Jeff Earl.
Kim says she's definitely not moving to Chicago, but he keeps doubling down, and Kris Jenner is getting awfully nervous. He did say he's surrounded by a lot of women, and he sort of trailed off when he mentioned that. Like, I have a lot of women in my family, as you all know.
No masculine energy, he says.
Right, not enough masculine energy. Right, like his. Right. Uh-huh.
He's a jackass.
There's that.
That's Obama. That's a reference to Kanye, right? Wasn't that about, what about Kanye?
He said he loves Hillary, but the I'm with her slogan didn't resonate with him. That it just didn't make him feel like the kind of man he felt he deserved and his son deserved. And that the make America great.
Oh, so he's that whole Trump thing of this is a really dangerous time for young rapey men is he's with him on that. This is like a this
he
is
didn't
very
go that far,
time.
But he did. He yeah. talked about masculinity with the hat makes him feel like Superman and with superhuman powers.
Okay.
So that's where we sit with Kanye.
I'm kind of thinking that the Adidas company is probably going to stop here and they're going to go, you know, I don't know if we really want to put a piece of this. You know, I don't know. Where do we really want to go with this?
I don't know. The Yeezys are starting to grow on me.
The way they look?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they first looked like Smurf shoes. And that when Adidas got involved in this and kind of took it away from Kanye's initial design and manufacturing people and did made them a little bit more, you know, in line with what the market was buying.
They're sleeker. And
they're pretty. I have a pair.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Superman when you wear them?
I do a little bit. There's a bounce to them.
You should have worn them today in honor of, you know.
I know. I didn't. When I left the house, I did not see what had happened here. I would have. I wore them 2 days ago. Wore them on Tuesday.
What color?
They're white.
I like the butter ones better. The butter yellow.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
Yeah. But it is.
They're all very affordable shoes.
Right.
Well,
right.
The ones with Adidas are. Those are cheaper.
Yeah.
Like $200.
The Adidas.
Like $200.
The Yeezy Inspired, I think, is how they refer to that. Yeah. Exactly.
But the Yeezys are like $1,500.
Yeah, I don't have any Yeezys. I have the Adidas. I do, you know, I do the business with the Adidas.
Christmas gift ideas, guys.
Kevin's
wish list.
I think I have to go.
With Yeezys.
I have to go get sick is what I have to go do right now. Yeah. I'm so distressed by what I have encountered here. Kim, what's happening in the newsroom?
Another day of slumps on Wall Street.
The Cats are back. Coach Fitz joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning at 7:10 ahead of their big matchup versus Nebraska. It's homecoming. You and I will both be there, Ro. You are still going,
yes,
aren't you?
I will be there.
Go Cats.
Go.
I will be
Cats.
There.
Proudly wearing my purple.
Yep.
On Saturday.
I like to, anytime I can get near Bluestone on Central in Evanston.
It's a good place. It's a great place. A disproportionate number of good eateries in the Evanston area.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of experience in that place. Generally closer to the bar than to the restaurant part, but it is.
Wasn't that the first Carnarvon or inspiration for one of the first?
It was an early Carnarvon wagon, and it was. It's responsible for one of the more infamous moments in Carnarvon history.
Mm.
So
many memories.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. You're making me tear up.
Yeah. Memories.
Right there.
I don't know how much of it do you remember.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
I like beer. Okay. I like Carnarvon.
Still like beer.
I like Carnarvons. I remember. What do you not remember? I remember.
Do you still like beer?
I like beer. I still like beer.
Okay. I'm going to have a beer right now.
As a matter of fact, although the margaritas would be the key at Blue Stone.
Yes, those are pretty fabulous.
I like margaritas.
Yeah, I do.
I still like margaritas.
I do, too.
His are the best. Fresh fruit juice.
What if you ordered it like that? I wonder if they'd tell you to leave.
Yeah, I think maybe they would. I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, they do have the best margaritas. You're right.
Yep. All right. I'm still getting over Kanye. Coming up, Tom Skilling is going to be joining us. And then Rich Roper is going to be here. He's going to be doing the official review of First Man, even though you did hear the interview with Ryan Gosling and Damien Chazelle earlier this week.
The dreamy Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Who they appeared on this very radio program. He's also going to be reviewing. This is kind of something here. Bad Times at the El Royale.
I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, really? that commercial for that is it's very alluring. It's very attractive, as a senator would say, about a potential rape victim. That's very attractive.
Oh, gee.
And then The Hate U Give is another movie that he's going to be reviewing as well. And then Camping with Jennifer Garner, this HBO series that's coming out.
She's everywhere all of a sudden. Have we noticed that about the Jennifer Garner? And I like her.
Yes. You know what I think happened? I think the divorce settlement dried up.
Yeah, flex out of her life now.
Yeah, I think
gotta go back to work.
I think that's what happened. I think the alimony part is gone, and now we're on to the next piece.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, good for her.
Kind of my guess, yes. And listen, she stepped up and she took care of her guy when he needed it. All right, we've got Kim Gordon standing by. She's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio in 2 minutes. Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. I thought Rick James was the craziest MFR I'd ever heard speak in music, and it turns out Kanye, far crazier, Tom Skilling. So, who's brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems.
Did you connect with any of that speech from Kanye?
Ooh, sorry about that.
Yikes.
I've got the headphones going nuts on me here, too. By the way, Mike was dancing in the background to that music. Mike Hammernick.
Good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's that was quite a scene.
Getting funky in the Weather Center.
Yes, we're feeling very funky here today. Yeah, exactly. Happy Thursday, guys.
Yeah.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds kind of qualified.
I want to throw something at you. I still not quite over myself. So I put on today. I was looking at the temperature.
Yes.
I paid great attention to your prognostication. I do.
Yes, you do. Yes.
And it also helps that you send me an email every day that explains it. Sort of almost you're like a parent, almost like going, all right, now here's honey, what you're gonna wear when you go to school.
Not to worry.
So I put on a suit coat and my suit kind of look today.
We're here to serve, by the way. Rob.
And then I put a big scarf. Big scarf.
I got the big scarf out today.
Big scarf on, and I'm walking. And when I was walking, heading from the north to the south, I'm like, this is great. I'm perfectly dressed. Then when I turned around and went the other way, from the south to the north, I almost died. It was like that scene from The Day After Tomorrow where all of a sudden the helicopter turns into ice and crumbles apart.
Wow. Well, I bet you turned a couple of heads, too, having, dressed with a scarf.
I looked like a White Walker when I was coming back across.
I heard, by the way, your analysis of northerly versus southerly winds.
What'd you think, Tom?
I think he got 3 meteorology credits here from our WGN School of Meteorology.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. If I do refer to myself as a third person,
you do. By the way, Ro, I owe you an apology because yesterday you made the comment that storm landfalled and was within 2 miles per hour of a Category 5, and I said no, 1 mile per hour. You were right. It was within 2 miles per hour.
Don't ever question me, Tom.
I erred. I know. Right, so I shouldn't do that.
I suppose that's what I'd say to everybody, and then they go, okay, right. Okay, so It was the north wind. I mean, that's the thing. It's a lovely day. I mean, it's, yes, you know, it's crystal. Like, the skies are very, very, you know, the light's good.
Yeah, the sunshine is there.
This beautiful,
right?
Fluffy white cloud, like almost Simpsons clouds in the sky.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice. But it is chilly, and it's startling, really.
It certainly is. I mean, we've undergone a startling weather change and a pattern change. It's jarring.
Jarring. I'm jarred.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah. I don't know what to do about my jarness.
Well, you know, we mentioned yesterday, and it's still true today, we averaged 21 degrees warmer last 7 days than we will over the coming seven. So that's enough to, you know, jar you. No question about that. It's like think about this. We've gone from July-level temperatures to almost late October-level temperatures inside of 24 hours' time. So you're not alone in being jarred.
That'll
by
do
all
it. I mean, that's right now, you can put me in a jar. So how I mean, then I heard, and I don't know, I don't want to even say who said it to me.
Okay.
But then I heard something that really made me mad.
Oh, no.
What, did Kanye say it?
No. I think you said it.
I said it.
Yeah, I think you said. I think you said 37 degrees and frost tonight, didn't you?
I read some weather report, Tom, and backed me up. There may be frost in some areas.
Anna's on. She always is. She's
really
on target.
Made me mad.
And what's more, Anna would be right in saying there might be frost tomorrow night too. So,
I didn't bring that part. We go day by day around here, Tom.
You let me handle that one.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So but you say this is a frost warning?
Yeah, there is. But think what's going on here. I mean, you know, we're maybe attacking some mold and you know, allergens and so forth.
How about the spiders?
Folks.
What about the spiders?
Yeah, mosquitoes. Because I thought they were gone, and then we had that warm night, and they all just returned. I'm like, I thought you guys left for the year.
Yeah. That's a good point, Kevin. I mean, we're getting...
So we'll kill them.
We need a freeze for that, though, do we? Or is it anything below 40?
Well, there'll be freezing temperatures out in the suburbs tonight. The cooler suburbs.
That's not helping me.
Goes down to 27 inland tonight. So that'll help a little bit.
27 where?
That sounds brutal.
Like Aurora, right?
That
Fox Valley, sunken McHenry, area in Aurora
Boone,
that
Winnebago,
is always 15 degrees colder than everything else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we've arranged a WGN limo to take you out there with a built-in thermometer, so you can welcome.
That's
you
how
can,
he rolls.
You can witness it yourself. You know,
that's true. Yeah, that is how I roll. That is. Thank you, Anna, for acknowledging that. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not below that, I suppose. All right. I guess I just have to wrap my brain around this because
I know
this is the time of year where this does happen. And it has been a lovely, lovely, lovely summer.
Yes, it has.
But like all summers downtown, it started, you know, later than it did everywhere else.
Yes.
But it was, but still very lovely.
It's been very warm. You know, when you figure we had 101 80-degree days, 76 is normal. Every month, every one of the last 6 months has been above normal. Mm-hmm. So we've done remarkably well. And I, you know, I wouldn't give up on some lovely mild days yet before the season's over and before significant snows fly. So I, you know, we're not done with this yet.
The trees are, and again, unlike some of our other neighbors here around us or other states where you get a couple weeks of the beautiful turning of the trees, we go from green to yellow, to red, to off the tree in about 12 hours here.
Feels like it, doesn't it? They're just
really
suddenly all on the ground.
How that happens.
Yeah. Well, we're the Windy City. Although moniker has nothing to do with the weather, obviously. We all know that. But we are kind of windy around
here. It is today.
So, yeah, it is. We've had 30-plus mile-per-hour wind gusts. You know, it's interesting. One of our reporters was in asking about the weather in the wake of this storm. You know, normally when these hurricanes pass an area, there's this steamy tropical air that sits in there. Tonight, the temperatures down in North Florida will go down to the 50s and low 60s. And in Georgia, the area affected there will be down in the low and mid 50s tonight in places. So they're getting a cooler, less humid air, although, you know, they almost need a little heat in some areas in Georgia, perhaps, because the blood is thin down there. You know, people get very upset. I worked a year in Jacksonville, Florida, and if you predicted a low temperature of 28, people were calling and asking if the radiator block was going to break, you know? So that's that. You think you're jarred. Ro, imagine sitting in the midst of that horror down there and having a cool air rush in.
But we have a stretch of this kind of weather, don't we?
We do.
Not much change.
We do. And you know what's interesting? Later next week, we'll get into one of these delightful Pacific air masses where the temperatures rebound again. And I think probably we're under forecasting it somewhere, thinking it turns to mid to upper 50s later next week. This has the look of mid to upper 60 type air mass. So we're not done with the mild air yet. We'll just see these cool air masses visit more frequently. And it definitely is going to be chilly right on into the first half of next week. So we're tough. We're ready for this.
Speak for yourself, Tom. I mean, yeah. I'm not sure about the toughness, but the wind we were talking about, and you were talking about specifically, Ro, earlier, that's what got you today. Is that going to continue tomorrow?
The winds will be fairly brisk, but they'll come down tonight, and that's what's going to allow the frost to form. See what happens. We say these low level wind fields decouple themselves from the overall wind pattern. What that means is there's a layer of chilly air that forms down here near the ground, and it kicks the air, the moving air, and the winds upstairs a little bit, a couple thousand feet. So that's what will happen later tonight, and it may be calm enough to allow some frost to form inland. Then we'll get kind of a modest wind from the west during the day tomorrow. Probably about 8 to 14 miles per hour as the day goes on. Tomorrow night, 5 to 13, and then a southwest wind picks up Saturday, 12 to 22. So it'll get a little stronger.
When are the puffy jackets coming out again, Tom? Do you see that in your long-range future, near-term future? What do you think?
Hold on. I got to go over here. Hold on. I can't. Go ahead.
Is he ill, Anna?
He's turning a weird shade of, green right now.
I know.
All right.
Well, this is tough for Ro, and but you're there, Anna, to nurse him through this, to help him through this.
Yeah, she's doing great, Tom.
Earmuffs, Ro.
I'll tell you, short of weather modification, what can Anna do?
I know. There's not much unless you guys get that tarp going over the lake anytime soon. I don't see how we change.
We get into some serious geoengineering here or something like that, which is scary because that probably will create all kinds of other problems.
Is he done with the puffy jacket answer so I can come back?
Come on back.
Okay. We're just done. We've handled that.
We'll move past that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's for another day.
We didn't handle it. We strategically moved beyond it. It's just
very well done. Yeah, sometimes it just got
decided.
Do that.
In other words, we have avoided the subject.
But there's still hope for some nice warm days. And, right? I mean,
we have Indian summer.
60s and
yet to
70s.
Come.
And, yeah.
Isn't wouldn't it be Indigenous People summer? I mean, is it?
I know.
I don't even know where to go with
you
that.
You know, I feel the same way. I'm uncomfortable using that term because I'm not sure whether it's politically correct or not. I suspect
maybe
it's not.
Really for India. Because it's hot there.
Well, that could be, yeah.
No, it's not, but okay. That's me.
I don't know.
It was funny because on Columbus Day, on Monday, I got on my phone. I had it as Columbus. My phone corrected me.
Yeah.
Because it said Columbus Day, and then it was like, nope, Indigenous Peoples Day.
Oh, I see.
You have a political correctness filter on your phone.
I know.
You can turn that off in settings.
I've got to install that software.
I want the Trump setting on my phone.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Is that in settings, too, where it just...
Merry Christmas, nonstop.
Celebrate white people.
X days to Christmas. X days from Christmas.
It gives you an inspirational quote about being a white male.
Hey, Christmas. That's great again.
Get through the day today. Yeah. You're fine.
If you're a white, a middle-aged, doughy white male, be careful today.
Yeah. In my arena, anti-climate change.
Right. There's no such thing as climate change.
Nope.
And you can't win if you're a middle-aged white male in America.
You
can't win.
Stacked against you.
But
it really is.
I will help you win again. Oh, man, I don't know what to do anymore.
I know. How about that stock market loss again? Isn't that something?
Yeah, you know what?
Did you get a call from your mother, Ro?
No. Well, yes, I did. Actually, it's funny you should mention. All right, so we had Susie Sunshine on yesterday. She's made her triumphant return to this radio program. She has just moved back to Chicago, and now she's head of U.S. equities for one of the biggest companies in the world.
Wow.
She's running the U.S. equities profiles for them.
And she still talks to us and she checks in on the program.
Yeah.
So I literally today we were reaching out to her and we're like, can you do this for us at a certain time? And she goes, well, I'm on the BBC, Radio New Zealand.
Jeez.
And all of a sudden all these things came up. Right. And we're like, whoa.
I know.
We were there when?
Yes.
Back
so,
in the day.
Well, I hope you said to her, what are we, chopped liver?
I did.
Here?
And she said yes. And so she'll be out with us tomorrow in her appointed time.
Okay.
But she was explaining that, you know, there's a bunch of things happening here. This is not what we should be panicking about. Mm-hmm. If we want to start panicking, next week when earnings come out, watch for that.
Okay.
If companies start to report and some of them are already dropping little breadcrumbs out to let us know that things aren't going to be going as well as we anticipated in their earnings, and that's one of the reasons that the markets are kind of preparing themselves, because there are going to be major companies. Ford has already dropped a bunch of breadcrumbs, right? Because they're like, hey, this is bad. The tariffs are bad for our business, and we lost $1 billion.
Wow.
On steel costs, and then there were a bunch of other, you know, there's other companies that are doing things like that. Then of course you had Kanye explaining the entire economy of the world
today.
To us. Manufacturing
touch
to
manufacturing.
Us today.
Did he get into climate change today? Or
I don't think he did.
Oh.
Did he?
No, I didn't hear climate change.
It's the one thing he didn't cover.
I
see. I wondered about that. I missed that, and I'm you know, I get busy here with my hurricanes and all the rest, and I miss some of this stuff. So I go home at night and try and catch up with what I've missed during the day.
Tom, he's actually coming to Bradley Place to meet with you next. He's
really?
Climate change.
Or sit down.
Tom Skilling and Kanye meet face to face
in his hydrogen plane, which also is a totally clear plane, and he lands. time, by the way, we did learn this. Time is a myth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, time is a myth?
Time is a myth.
Okay.
And
how about the world? Are we still around?
Yeah, we're around. I think.
We didn't address really the world stability, just kind of Chicago and manufacturing and hero-dom.
Yes.
But if you grab his iPhone, his passcode is 00000. So
just in case you're wondering.
You want to break into it?
Well, the FBI now, in case they do find it and they can't get into it, they now know how to get into it.
That's most important for Kim. Yes. Now she knows how to get
into
it. I'll tell you something. With the trouble I have with passwords, I've got to take my hat off to them. That's a good password. It's very memorable.
I just do password one for everything. All right. Thank you very much, Tom.
See you later, guys.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Happy
Tom Skilling. Watch him tonight. WGN TV News at your 5, 6, 9, and 10. And that's time at 10, which is a big deal. All right, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
And as you've heard, it's time to get out the hats and gloves. Summer temperatures have come and gone.
Now, Judy is not here today to listen to me sing her praises.
Oh.
So I won't do it.
No.
Because it doesn't do me any good. But
you might as well wait till she's live and in person.
Yeah, but I will say this, that she is off today, but she is going to be on Sunday at the Goodwill store in New Lenox, located at 441 East Lincoln Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Halloween bash. Now, she says that she has created a Halloween masterpiece, a spooky Halloween masterpiece.
She did. And she says it's super spooky.
And someone's going to win that along with tickets to. We got Blackhawks tickets. I think we got football tickets too, right?
She said Bears tickets.
Yeah.
She did say that.
I don't
that.
Think we can say that, but we can say football tickets.
Yes,
I think we can say that.
Judy didn't say that.
Yeah, I know. But then the Bears don't want to call Judy and tell her. They want to call me tell me.
That's true.
Right? Football at Soldier Field.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably on a Sunday.
Yeah, probably.
Trubisky tickets?
Yeah. No, I don't think we're paying him either. Anyway, the point is that they're giving away a bunch of and food from Bartolini's. So all going to be good. It's going to be fun. That is Sunday in New Lenox at the Goodwill store in New Lenox, and stop on by from noon until 2. All right.
Very cool.
And she told us she's got a new broom to fly in on. Which I thought was really cool.
She's dressing up in costume, mm-hmm. not revealed yet.
Right.
She encourages others to do the same.
I said, is it the same broom you fly in here on? And she's like, no, I got a new one. I got a new one. And I'm like, oh, great. She went to Apple. She got a new broom. It was great.
State of the art.
Yeah. It's best. Well, it's got GPS now, which is good.
Yeah.
So she can find me wherever I am.
Mm-hmm. And there's room on the broom if you need to jump on, Ro, and head out to New Lenox yourself.
That's
I know Halloween's your least favorite holiday.
It is not. Let's put it this way. It is not my favorite holiday. It's not. It is not. Although Sunday, you just can't be more excited about Sunday just in general.
Because of the football?
Yeah, because of football. I got an urge right now about this.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be incredible.
Well, the weather helps. Football weather.
Yeah. And it's not here, though. You know, so it's like, then you watch, in Miami where there's a bunch of people and...
it's like watching golf in Hawaii in the middle of winter.
Right. Neon green tank tops. And you're like, oh, ew.
What did we decide the Miami team is? Like turquoise? Is that what that...
Yeah, they're
jerseys.
More of a turquoise.
I think it's like ocean.
Definitely. No, it's seafoam green.
Seafoam, yeah.
Yeah, it's a green. I don't know.
You don't see that in Chicago so often.
Yeah, it's turquoise. A pastel-y kind of a bluish green. It is. It's
no navy and orange. That's for damn sure.
No, it's what Agador Spartacus would be wearing in the birdcage.
Oh, in the birdcage. Yes. Yeah. Hank Azaria's character.
Yes.
You lost me.
Yeah. Oh,
go watch it.
You have never seen that movie?
Oh, my gosh.
What's it called?
It is an oldie but goodie.
Oh, it's the best.
You have never seen The Birdcage?
No, I don't like birds. Does it involve birds?
No.
Fear the bird.
It does not involve birds. All right. You know what? Stone Pony is joining us. Alex Stone from ABC News. He doesn't have to. You've seen The Birdcage. You know.
That's before my time. I've never. No, I'm sure I've seen it on TNT or USA, but I don't think I've ever sat and watched The Birdcage.
Thank you.
Oh, God. It is one of the greatest.
Isn't Robin Williams in
that? Yes. Robin Williams.
Calista Flockhart.
Nathan Lane.
Oh, he's the best in that movie.
Gene Hackman. Oh, it is one of Gene Hackman's greatest roles of all time.
Nah, there's no better movie than Dumb and Dumber. It can't be any better than Dumb and Dumber.
It is quite amazing.
Diane West.
Yeah,
Weist.
All right, let's talk about we brought the pony up here because it's a very important story. One of our astronauts. On this, the day that First Man is being released to the theaters,
mm-hmm.
one of our astronauts had an emergency landing because, we don't ferry our astronauts back and forth to the space station on U.S. equipment anymore. We use the Russians. We pay the Russians for the ride. And they had a problem with one of their Soyuz rockets, right?
Yeah, and everything, luckily, something went terribly wrong, but then everything else went very, very right and ended up working out today. But it was NASA astronaut Nick Haig and Russian cosmonaut Alexei Ovchinin, and they're both in good condition right now. They lifted off. Everything was going well. It looked like that it was working the way it should. About 2 minutes in, though, which is a long time when you think of how fast a rocket goes into the air. 2 minutes in, they were about halfway to space. They were leaving Earth's atmosphere, and there was a problem. There was a problem with the booster rocket going into the second stage. There was strange exhaust coming from the second stage. A warning light came on inside the Soyuz spacecraft.
Oh, you don't want to see this. None of these things do you want to have happen.
No. Now, when that light comes on, you got a problem when you're going at the speeds that they were going and that they were halfway to space. And then the computer took over and began what NASA calls a ballistic reentry, a very quick reentry. Even still, it took about a half an hour, but very quick compared to what it normally would be. It begins to spin the Soyuz so that it can reenter Earth's atmosphere. They were spinning about seven times the force of gravity on Earth. Then the parachute came out. They ended up landing in Kazakhstan, about 200 miles away from where they lifted off. And
now that's where Borat is from.
On either the astronaut or the cosmonaut.
Just in case Viola needs to know, that's where Borat is from, right? So Kazakhstan, which also reminds her of her own family. All right. So I want to know why it is, though, that they were going up there. Were they going to the space station? Were they going to be on the space station?
Yeah, they were going to the International Space Station, and now here's the issue, because the current crew on the space station, they've got their own Soyuz to come back in, but they're supposed to be done in December. The Soyuz has an expiration date on it, and their Soyuz that's up there is going to be done. The latest they could push it is into January, so they have a little bit of wiggle room, but then it expires like lettuce in the fridge, where it won't work the way that they, and then the safety aspect isn't there. So they need to get them home by January. NASA is saying today that they feel like that between now and December that the Russians will investigate this, figure out what caused this to happen. They don't know right now. The Russians don't know. They've launched an investigation. And that they will get another Soyuz up there to get another crew there. There is the potential that if they can't, that the current crew that's up there will come home and it will be unmanned. The International Space Station, which they can do, they would pilot it, they would run it from Earth, and NASA says that's always been something that they can do, and that they could do essentially indefinitely, even though they don't like to call it indefinitely. They say for a long amount of time until they could get another crew up there. And not that the U.S. is going to be sending anybody on our ships. It's been 7 years since the U.S. has been able to send anybody up into to space, to the International Space Station. So really it is up to the Russians to figure out what went wrong and to get the Soyuz flying again.
Has it been unmanned since it started, the International Space Station? Would this be a very unusual period of time if that happened?
It would be very unusual for them, especially for a long amount of time, to not have anybody on board. It's not something they want to do, but it, again, it's something that they could do, and they would just fly it from Earth and control everything from Earth. They want to get somebody up there before they have to get the crew that's up there now off. But this crew was heading up there. The plan was, and we asked NASA today, so what happens now to this astronaut, Haig, and to the cosmonaut, where do they fit into the program? And they said, well, they don't know now. They've got to negotiate. Is there some way to fit them into another launch? You know, you feel bad for these guys if they planned for this and worked for this for years, and if now they're out of rotation because this was their spot and there isn't another spot for them. NASA says they're going to try to figure out if they can get them back up, but they may or may not be able to.
Wow, that would suck. Yeah. Again, this is all a promotion for First Man. It opens tonight in theaters around the country. So, because there's a similar storyline actually in First Man about a change in rotation after a series of things went wrong.
Well, and by the way, NASA says this really shows how good of a job the Russians have done building the Soyuz, because everything did go so well today. And NASA very much is making it known that they are appreciative of Russia and what Russia did with their program.
So is the White House, by the way. They'd like to thank Russia, too.
Well, you know, there are a million things that could have gone wrong here if they didn't have the safeguards in place. That this shows that there was a problem. The computer took over and brought them back without the, at least initially, without the crew on board having to get involved. And then they began the getting it set up for reentry. But it could have gone very differently today had the computer not taken over and had they not been able to come back.
Yeah, that's true. That would have
been. Thank God they're okay.
That would have been very bad. This is the closest call. You know, actually, the Soviet/Russian space program has lost fewer cosmonauts than we have lost astronauts in their history.
Is true. And in some cases, they do send fewer up per capsule, but they do go up more often. And that is a feat that they've been there. They're a safe program.
Yeah. Even though they're really not known for extreme safety measures in the Russian car, their fighter jets, things like that, not always safety first.
But spacecraft, yeah. they seem to have that one buttoned down.
Isn't it amazing though, with all of the trouble that exists between the United States and Russia and has over the last 100 years? That is a really unified front. And you talk to people from the space program, and we've interviewed them a number of times, especially people on the international, who've been on the International Space Station, whether it's Commander Kelly or any of the other people that we've talked to, who, you know, they talk about what incredible camaraderie there is within that program, because they're all involved and they have one goal, they have one mission, and this is really about humankind as opposed to nationalism.
Yeah, and politics moves aside. In fact, the guys running the program on the NASA side talking about today that in the investigation that the Russians will lead the investigation, but the books are open that when they investigate these things, when there is an incident going into space, that both agencies are working together on it and that they're helping each other. They can see what the other one's working on. There's no, at least as far as we know, hiding of information when it comes to what caused this. They said they have no fear that there will be a lack of information, that once this investigation gets up and running, that they feel that they'll be a huge part of it and they'll know every step of the way. And until they feel confident enough to put an astronaut back on board, they won't do it. But they feel like that the Russians will do a thorough investigation. You don't hear outside of the White House many people giving that much credit to what the Russians would do in an investigation. But on the side of NASA, they say, yeah, they work very close and they trust each other very much.
Wow. That's all right. Awesome. All right. Stone Pony, Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles. Thank you, sir.
Alex.
I'm going to go watch Birdcage now. Goodbye.
Yeah, you should. You really should.
I just saw the trailer. It looks great.
Hilarious. Really great performances. Yeah.
You know, we forget how young this little girl is that works for us.
Well, you think about it. It was Ally McBeal before she was Ally McBeal. I mean, Calista Flockhart, wasn't that before?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who Ally McBeal is?
Yeah, of course I do.
Oh, that is. Okay. Because they're reruns?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Calista Flockhart plays a 19-year-old girl getting married in college.
And she's in her 50s now.
Yeah.
She looks great, though. She looks very similar.
Mm-hmm.
That is, what year is that movie? Does it do?
1996.
Wow.
Yeah, boy, that's...
Seems like just yesterday.
Oh, gee.
It was the ripe age of 4.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Director Mike Nichols. Boy, yeah, I did not connect that.
Yeah, just lost to us, as a matter of fact. No, yeah, Mike Nichols is the, he made a lot of movies like that in that era that were, you know, those kind of glossy comedies. But, wow. It's one you can watch again and again.
From the trailer, my favorite part is them learning how to put butter on toast.
Yes, well, there's more. You just watch the movie. Because there's a lot of things that we cannot discuss, actually, on the radio that happened that movie would not be considered politically correct today. Let's just put it that way.
No, it would not.
Like a lot of those movies from the 80s and 90s. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Rose, some aldermen got more than eggs and toast during a breakfast with Mayor Emanuel today.
The Bears, they're back from the bye week and headed to Miami. The Seafoam Dolphins. Dan Hampton joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 7:40. Talk benefits of an early bye week and game plan to keep the momentum going.
I think they should actually just discuss what color the Miami Dolphins jersey really is.
Someone should
explain that. Is it teal?
Is
it seafoam green?
Someone's got a... It's a ridiculous color for a football jersey. I think we can all agree.
Yes, I think that's all true. All right. Kim Gordon is standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. All right, let me just get you caught up here in terms of what's coming up. We got a top 5-5 right now. We have Mr. Richard Roper in the 6 o'clock hour. He's going to get us up to date on his reviews for First Man, which opens today. That's the Ryan Gosling movie about Neil Armstrong. Bad Times at the El Royale. Which does look sick, as the kids would say.
Kind of.
What? No,
the way you just said sick.
I actually said it sort of like Gene Simmons from Kiss. Sick!
It looks like a Tarantino movie, but it's not.
It's not.
Dakota Fanning's growing on me.
7 strangers, each with a secret to bury, meet at Lake Tahoe's El Royale. A rundown hotel with a dark past. Over the course of one fateful night, everyone will have a last shot at redemption before everything goes to hell.
Sick.
That sounds like this. Sick. It sounds like this show every day is what this sounds like. Sick, dude.
That one doesn't speak to me. I mean, I'm going to wait for Richard's review, as I always do. But I don't know.
Come on, Anna. It's going to be sick.
Star is born and then sickness. But I don't know.
Sickness.
Sickness.
Oh, that was adorable.
Hearing Anna say that was pretty funny.
Sick.
I can't even say it the way you guys say it, so I'm not even going to
give it a try.
No,
just
I
let
can't.
Loose one time,
I
Anna.
Can't.
Just
I
let
can't.
Loose.
I mean, I
sick.
Sick, man.
I can't do that.
Do it.
That doesn't work.
She's incapable. She has lost that gene. She's lost the gene for sick.
Sick.
You don't even
that
say it the same
sounds
way
like
they do.
Radio guy's sidekick. That's how he would sound.
No, it's Gene Simmons. Kiosh. You know, so you have to say it like that. Sick.
I don't know.
All right, anyway. I think Anna wants to get to the top five.
I do.
Do you?
I do, because I have right, no interest fine. In that movie. But Richard might change my mind.
All right. But you still haven't seen A Star Is Born.
That I'm dying
it's
going to
make
see.
You cry.
Dying to see. And I will cry, I'm sure.
Made me cry even more than the Barbra Streisand film.
No way.
I know.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number five.
All right, there was a press conference today at the State Department that turned a little testy. Heather Nauert.
A.K.A. Cameron Diaz.
Yes. Heather Nauert, who I think is eventually going to replace Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh.
Yeah.
She does an excellent job.
Yeah, because, well, she does do a very nice job, but she also I think the president likes her, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. She also could replace Melania before it's all said and done.
Stop.
But there was a question, because the press corps, the State Department, is like, what is the United States doing about the disappearance and feared murder of the Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi, who disappeared. He was living in the United States. Now, he's not an American citizen. So that's where the FBI does run into a problem here. The FBI can't necessarily investigate this because he's not an American citizen. But he was here working legally. I know what you're saying. I can hear you out there already. But he was here working, and he was living in a Washington, D.C. suburb, and he was lured back to Istanbul, to the Saudi embassy in Istanbul, where he disappeared.
And senators are coming out to say likely killed, and Senator Corker even said likely killed by the Saudis themselves.
So what is the State Department going to do, Heather?
We are all concerned about his whereabouts. We don't have any information on his whereabouts right now, or what happened to him. As you can see, anytime you turn on the news, you open the newspaper, there is a lot of speculation and there are a ton of rumors out there. We are making determinations and watching this for facts. We don't have the facts yet. And so we are going to hold back on our comments until we have concrete information that the U.S. government can share. We don't have that information at this point right now. An investigation, as our understanding is underway, and we're not going to get ahead of that.
And the Saudis are denying any, the MBS, the new Saudi king, Mohammed bin Salman, is denying he had anything to do with this. And I don't know. He's doing the old, I don't know. But he apparently did have a conversation this week, it is being confirmed, with Jared Kushner.
The journalist did? You're talking about the missing journalist?
Mohammed bin Salman.
Oh, well, he's also saying today that if the U.S. takes any action against Saudi Arabia, that watch out over this incident. So there are fighting words in the air.
So that's okay. Well, then explain where the guy is.
That's right.
That we won't take action if you explain.
Into the embassy.
And not coming out of the embassy.
Not coming out.
And the president. And then the president was asked, should we stop selling arms to Saudi Arabia? And the president said, well, that would be bad for us. You know, for the people who are making the arms here, that would be bad for jobs, and we don't want to do that. Well, given that, if you're just going to use that logic, then why don't we sell nuclear arms to
Iran.
Everyone. Iran, North Korea, what do you need? I mean, that's not exactly the same. I mean, there does have to be a point where we decide about the rule of law and what's right and what's wrong. And Khashoggi was a very strong critic of the new Saudi regime. And this new Saudi regime, remember, there's a lot of people in the royal family who are not happy with the Saudi regime because they put a bunch of them in jail, their own members of their own family.
Right.
Now, the jail was the Ritz-Carlton, but still, it was a jail. They do things very differently over there.
Boy, do they ever.
All right, checking in at
number four.
First Lady Melania Trump told ABC News in an exclusive interview that she has told her husband that there have been people in his administration that she doesn't really trust.
Has he had people that you didn't trust working for him?
Yes.
Did you let him know?
I let him know.
And what did he do?
Well, some people, they don't work there anymore. And it's very difficult sometimes because I'm so busy with my office, I don't get involved with West Wing.
Do you think there's still people there that he can't trust?
Yes.
Still working now?
Yes.
Who would they be? Everyone.
I don't know. It feels like this interview is getting a lot of hype, and I suspect, I'm not sure there's going to be a payoff on it. It seems like a lot of questions asked and not a lot of answers in the teasers that they're putting out. But we'll see. We'll see. It's, what, tomorrow night on ABC?
Now, is Melania prepared for being in the White House if her husband wins in 2020?
Are you looking forward to possibly six more years in the White House?
I believe that my husband is doing an incredible job for this nation. And I want that American people have a success. So whatever he will decide, I will support him.
But are you looking forward to it?
I'm enjoying it. Okay. I really love to live in the Washington and in the White House. And yes, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, come on.
She's just being nice.
Oh, come on. Oh, okay. I like to live in the Washington. Okay. What part of the Washington do you like to live in?
The White House, maybe, but it's not as nice as their home in New York.
No. Or that hotel across the street.
Depends on what you clarify as nice. Everything's not gold for them. It might not be.
Maybe she doesn't like the gold. I don't think the gold was her choice. I don't know. Maybe it was, but I don't think so. She seems like a little bit more modern of a fashion sense. Than,
she's more of a stainless steel kind of.
I think she's, yeah. I think she's more. I get that. But she's rather steely. And how's this Be Best thing going for you?
What did you see personally that you thought you wanted to tackle this issue?
I could say I'm the most bullied person on the world.
You think you're the most bullied person in the world?
One of them. If you really see what people saying about me. That's why my Be Best initiative is focusing on social media and online behavior. We need to educate the children of social emotional behavior.
Oh my
so
God.
When they grow up,
yeah.
And they know how to deal with those issues.
Really?
I almost feel bad for her. She's so out of touch with the culture here.
Do
I mean,
you
she really
think
is.
Do you think that Donald Trump even talks to her?
Limited.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she means.
I mean, her English is not that great, and you know he's not bilingual. I mean, she's not that. I mean, she speaks more languages than I do, but he only speaks one. And not even that well. So I don't know that the two of them have really a good communication thing. And he's, you know, he's so impetuous and always in a hurry with things. He really does not exemplify patience. So I'd imagine when she's trying to get things out,
mm-hmm.
I could just imagine what he's saying to her. Or at least he's saying in his own head. I just don't. I don't see any of this. And I do like. I mean, she's in there. I get it. Listen, she's a hostage. I mean, what is she going to do? I mean, she's not going to get up there and go, "This. I'm totally embarrassed. I'm totally beyond. You know, this makes no sense. I know the bullying thing is great irony.
There is some irony to.
What's the English word for irony? You know, I know that there's that there. I know that she gets that. Because she seems very smart to me. She mm-hmm. seems very...
I think so.
Aware. And I think she knew what she wanted, and then she just got a little bit more than she had planned on.
I don't think she saw this coming. But
no.
She's making the most of it. Supposedly she had no holds barred, no questions he couldn't ask on this ABC one-on-one sit-down, and he does ask about Stormy Daniels and the affairs and all of that, the Me Too movement, and, you know, we'll see what she says. But that's part of the, those are part of the teasers.
That's Tom Lamas from ABC News. We're going to have him on the program tomorrow. So, talking about this. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, just in time for Halloween, Lake County has a warning about bats.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock. Our boy Joe.
His other show yesterday.
Kind of a big deal. Yeah, you and Kevin kind of clammed up when he came on. Like
everyone's
still nervous.
Talking about his appearance.
Everyone.
Everybody. Rave reviews. That's how
you
great Joe
Roe
is.
You and Roe are talking about it. Yeah. Even though we love Joe.
We actually had...
You guys are like a little too in love.
We actually started wrestling in the sports department today, me and Kev, about who Joe likes better. Who likes me better?
A little roughhousing.
I like beer. All right.
Still like beer.
Sickness. Number three.
Passenger got kicked off a plane in Orlando on the way to Cleveland. Why? Because she wanted to bring her emotional support squirrel on board. And Frontier Airlines was having none of it. And you know who really got a kick out of this? The rest of the passengers.
Damn squirrel.
Damn squirrel.
Damn squirrel, get off the plane.
Yeah, they don't allow rodents. That has been removed from the qualifying emotional support animals. No rodents.
This woman's name is Cindy Torok, and she had an emotional support squirrel named Daisy. She also had a doctor's note from a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So I don't know if that's a doctor's note. That's a psychiatric nurse practitioner's note that said, please allow Cindy Torok to be accompanied by her emotional support animal in the cabin of the aircraft. They just never mentioned that it was a squirrel.
Kind of important.
Ms. Torok decided, what else would she do? She would go to Inside Edition for justice.
Some were, way to go. Way to go, girl. You stand your ground. Others were obnoxious.
How was that flight, flying without Daisy, your squirrel?
It was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
We took off and I didn't have her with me.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Now, where does she leave the squirrel? Does she just put the squirrel in an envelope and mail it back to her house?
A tree? I mean,
she left it with her sister. Squirrels, you know, they react so well. They're so well trained.
The airlines have really cracked down on this. The United CEO said that they actually had a passenger tried to bring an emotional support animal for the emotional support animal. Mm-hmm. So now it's down to one and very specific.
Right. No peacocks allowed.
No peacocks.
Number two.
Guillermo was in town. Jimmy Kimmel's guy? The little guy?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he made a stop at Wiener Circle.
Of course he did.
Hi, Guillermo. How you doing?
Hi, Jimmy. I'm doing great, Jimmy. I love Chicago. I'm here with all these wonderful people.
Okay, Evelyn and Pucci, show us how you do it, how you insult the customers using Guillermo as your subject.
No problem.
Okay.
All right. What the f*** you having? I'm having a hot dog.
What type of hot dog?
Whatever you want.
Whatever I want?
Yeah,
I want to make you legal.
Wow.
Don't mess with the ladies at the Wiener Circle.
Yeah.
Number one.
This is America. Kanye West was at the White House today. This is really a show of where we sit now as a nation. And if this is the new look of... like racial harmony in America, ebony and ivory, I don't want to be a part of it.
And one of the things we got to set is Ford to have the highest design, the dopest cars, the most amazing. I don't really say dope. I don't say negative words and try to flip them. We just say positive, lovely, divine, universal words. So the flyest, freshest, most amazing car.
That's just a little taste.
It's hard to pick the right
soundbite. We'll play more on the other side. But first, Kim Gordon's got the WGN News.
The top five at five.
Okay. I just want to play a little bit of what happened here today at the White House so that people can... judge for themselves. This is where Chicago crazy meets New York crazy. And unfortunately, it was in the Oval Office.
It was.
And I just don't know what to make of it. I mean, I do, But there's nothing we can do about it. This is like, I mean, if you don't have that expression on your face of, oh my God, what did I just see?
Words were spoken I truly don't understand.
Kanye West, along with Jim Brown. I thought Kid Rock was there too, but I don't see him in the video.
He's not in that particular video, the one where Kanye does his speech, but he was there.
Okay. And he, even Kid Rock's like, I'm
staying out of this video.
And Jim Brown, who's in his 80s, right? And he's got to be, right? Mm-hmm. Jim Brown, who is, you know, one of the great, not only 82. One of the great athletes, but also, you know, one of the great social figures of the 60s and 70s. He transferred from being an athlete. He was a college all-star lacrosse player, then ended up in the NFL, ended up as, you know, a relatively short-lived career for the guys of that era, but incredible, incredible performances, and then decided to sort of pitch it all, and then he goes off to Hollywood, and he becomes an actor, and he's a great, like, social conscience guy, and he mm-hmm. wanted to make a change about how African-Americans were perceived. And he's always been a fairly conservative guy about, it, you know, about social issues, but, and it is sort of in the, you know, the, before we found out that Bill Cosby was drugging and raping women, he was sort of in that Bill Cosby vein of, you got to take care of your own business and make sure, you know, be responsible and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. A really, really interesting figure. But he's gone. He's totally in for Trump. And, of course, Kanye, Yeezy, he's totally in for Trump because I think Yeezy realizes that he gets to stay front and center. And especially he's got a new album out right now. So the more he stays out front and center, the better it is for him.
Right. And Kid Rock and Kanye were there because they were signing the Music Modernization Act. So Kid right. Rock signed up because it's updating copyright laws for the industry and stuff like that. But obviously, Kanye had his private meeting as well with Ivanka and Jared about judicial reform.
Right. And at which he asked that the president consider this almost unfathomable, I think, to Chicagoans who are familiar with this name, but a pardon for Larry Hoover, who is the founder of the Black Gangster Disciples.
Right.
Which is one of the most notorious street gangs in American history, maybe even human history, responsible for thousands of murders and drug overdoses. Thousands, thousands mm-hmm. of murders in Chicago. Thousands of young men who didn't make it to the age of 25 because of this organization.
Right. Initially went away for murder, got out, and then was in prison and was organizing gang activities from prison, drug trade.
Right.
He was in and murders. Out of prison. Yeah. Yes, he was.
But when he came out, they went back in on multiple drug conspiracy charges, and then ran, like you said, ran the gang, ordered murders from his prison cell in downstate Illinois, and then the feds indicted him on that and sentenced him to six life terms, six consecutive. So you die, you serve another one. You die, you serve another. Six consecutive in supermax for what he did. And I don't think there's a whole lot of people who understand what happened here in law enforcement, or and the president seemed not to know. Can we play that one first? The president seemed not to know what was going on here when he was talking about Larry Hoover. But that's a mistake by the White House, because Larry Hoover, yes, the Free Larry Hoover T-shirt is something that Kanye wore on Saturday Night Live, and the White House should have been prepared for this, because this is, you know, if they're a Chicago police officer, like, yeah, we want the Justice Department here, and we, you know, we like President Trump's idea of, like, cleaning up Chicago, we want stop and frisk and all that, they will stop dead in their tracks if they think he's in favor of Larry Hoover.
Here we have Larry Hoover's lawyer with us today, and it's a prisoner that we're focused on. He has six life sentences, and they have him next to the Unabomber doing 23-1.
And what did he do, Larry? What happened? What did he do?
Why is he in?
Yes, tell me. Tell us the story.
Allegedly, it's for a conspiracy from prison, from state prison. You know, it's alleged. But we believe, even if he did commit those crimes, the sentence was overly broad.
What was the sentence?
Six consecutive life sentences in the most secure prison in the world, also known as the clean version of hell.
Hmm? I like how he downplays it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Larry Hoover's. I mean,
even if he's guilty of all of it, it's just too much. Really? It doesn't matter if it's six consecutive life. One life sentence. Let's go down. You know what? You know what I'm willing to do? I'm willing to drop that to one. I will do that. That's generous. If that makes Kanye feel better, wait, there's more.
And really, the reason why they imprisoned him is because he started doing positive for the community. He started showing that he actually had power, that he wasn't just one of a monolithic voice, that he could wrap people around. So there's theories that there's infinite amounts of universe and there's alternate universe. So it's very important for me to get Hoover out, because in an alternate universe, I am him. And I have to go and get him free, because he was doing positive inside of Chicago, just like how I'm moving back to Chicago.
He was doing positive inside of Chicago. Tell that to the thousands of families who lost loved ones to the Gangster Disciples, and yeah. Still do every night.
Still out there. He did renounce his violent past and tried to hold some peaceful protests, but it doesn't.
No.
There was a piece of.
But he was already in jail. But after that, he was already in jail running the Gangster Disciples from jail.
He did that as well.
Yeah. There's.
I'm not trying to make him sound like a hero.
It's a marketing move to renounce your past.
That's referring to there when he says that there was some sort of, turning over a new leaf or change within him. But think about what he did, running 30,000 gang members plus from prison, and the acts that they did at his direction. It's pretty sick and disturbing.
Now, on the issue of stop and frisk, here is Kanye.
I'm going to Chicago sometime, so I would like to know what you would like to ask President Trump to do for Chicago. You're here to talk about crime in Chicago.
The thing that that the head of the police and Mike Sachs met with me last night at the Soho House about was, we feel that stop and frisk does not help the relationships in the city. And everyone that knew I was coming here asked about stop and frisk. That's the number one thing that we're having this conversation about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's, we're having that guy. Is there a follow-up on that?
Was that Lynn Sweet?
That was Lynn Sweet from the Chicago Sun-Times right there asking the question.
Well, he later went on to tell the president, sorry, I didn't mean to put you on blast, meaning, which, is, if you don't know what that means, almost getting ahead of him and setting him up to insult him, if that's not what they're going to talk about, but... The president's like, no, yeah, it's fine. I'm cool.
Yeah, go ahead, blast me. I'm all blast. All about the blast.
You seem pretty okay with
I'm
it all.
I'm totally down with blast.
Nobody takes a blast like me.
I'm the best blaster ever. I'm a bad blaster. By the way, also very good at plaster. Now, this is interesting. The NRA is tweeting now their praise for Kanye.
Oh, it's huge. It's pretty big on social media. They're basically endorsing his Second Amendment defense.
Yes, and the right to bear arms and all that. And they said finally somebody in Hollywood gets it.
What about gun violence with all the debate about the Second Amendment going on?
The problem is illegal guns. Illegal guns is the problem. Not legal guns. We have the right to bear arms.
And the NRA was very pleased with that. And has been very big with social media, explaining that nearly 6 million members are glad to see a celebrity who gets it, willing to stand with the Second Amendment.
What's
on their side now?
I don't think that's illegal guns. Illegally possessed guns, I think, is what he means. They're not illegal guns. Right?
Yeah,
isn't
right.
that what he means?
If you illegally have a gun. Or
what? But should you be? Should there be a legal... Should it even be illegal to have a gun?
No, I don't think that's what he's saying.
No, I think he's saying it's already the law that we're allowed to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have that right, you have to do it legally.
So if you have that right, you have to do it legally. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Violetta, you get that too. The NRA should tweet out about you too.
Well, I don't think he really was taking a stance other than saying...
Well, he was saying
it's legal to own a gun.
That's right. He was saying the Second Amendment, we're allowed to have guns. We have to worry about illegal guns. NRA was very happy with that.
Okay.
President Trump has said that he favors stomp and frisk. Are you guys going to be discussing that? Do you think you can change his mind?
Yeah, we're going to discuss. I didn't mean to put you on blast like that, bro. But it's definitely.
I'm open minded. I'm here.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. Mr. President, I am open minded.
I'd like him to speak at one of your rallies.
He can speak for me anytime he wants. He's been a great guy. He's smart cookie. Yeah. Smart. He gets it. Yeah. These two guys, Jim Brown, he's been doing this for a long time.
Jim Brown.
Jim was silent.
The body language on Jim Brown and the expression on his face was priceless during the entire thing. Where Kanye, all right, what's the longest, craziest rant that we have here? This just gives you a sense, because this went on for a while, about 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. That Kanye held the floor here. And you hear all the camera shutters, which I don't even understand anymore, because you can put that on silent. I don't get what's going on there. As opposed to blast, I suppose, if I just want to make that totally clear.
To blast someone is to embarrass them.
Yes.
Publicly, normally on social media.
I just want to just dial up the crazy here. Let's dial it up to 11. What do you got?
I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I was connected with a neuropsychologist that works with the athletes in the NBA and the NFL. And he looked at my brain. It's equal on three parts. I'm going to go ahead, drop some bombs for you. 98 percentile IQ test. I had a 75 percentile of all human beings, but it was counting eight numbers backwards after it was repeating. So I'm going to work on that one. The other one's 98%. Tesla, Freud, you know.
No, I don't know. What are you talking about? He doesn't know how to count backwards?
No, he can't. Wait, there's more.
So he said that I actually wasn't bipolar. I had sleep deprivation, which could cause dementia 10 to 20 years from now, where I wouldn't even remember my son's name. So all this power that I got, and I'm taking my son to the Sox game and all that, I wouldn't be able to remember his name from a misdiagnosis.
You know, he didn't mention his daughter once. Daughters. Only the son. He's really big on the masculine energy
right now. He's sick and tired of all those women telling him what to do over by the Kardashian house, as we say in Chicago.
It's funny that you bring up the Kardashians, because I was wondering, could this be the Kardashian curse? The Kardashian curse, if you don't know, is that they ruin all guys' lives that they encounter. They
come in their orbit.
Yeah, and now since marrying Kim, I mean, he's just obviously unhinged.
I think he came pre-unhinged. Yeah, I think he did.
Remember when he said George Bush hates black people? He just kind of blurted that out during that charity fundraiser with Mike Myers standing next to him, horrified.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's had several moments, the Taylor Swift moment, so many others.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to play the most unhinged piece right after Kim tells us what's coming up in the newsroom at the top of the hour.
Row workers at just one Chicago hotel remains at odds with their employer after a five-week strike.
It's the one near me, because I still hear the pans being clanged against each other.
And the drums going and the cymbals.
All right, Violetta.
Mr. West, you have one question, we're going to go to another question. I answered your question. I don't answer questions as simple sound bites. You are tasting a fine wine. It has multiple notes to it. You better play 4D chess with me like it's Minority Report. Because it ain't that simple. It's complex.
Oh, I'm so lost.
How is Kanye West at the White House today? Was everything we expected.
Can I say something positive about Kanye, though? The fact that he was in town in Chicago. He is trying to invest some money in Chicago and seems like he would like to solve some of the problems, particularly in black community. He's putting money he's pledged to the Regal Theater on 79th Street, where he's a historical theater, where one of the first places he ever performed. He's putting money there. He seems like one of those people who does want to give back.
Yes. Do you think he's capable of doing any of these things?
Well,
hold on.
I think in Chicago.
Let me... Oh, really? Listen to this.
But you know what I don't like about... It's not that I don't like... What I need Saturday Night Live to improve on, or what I need the liberals to improve on, is if he don't look good, we don't look good. This is our president. He has to be the freshest, the flyest planes, the best factories, and we have to make our core be in power. We have to bring jobs into America, because our best export is entertainment and ideas. But when we make everything in China and not in America, then we're cheating on our country. And we're putting people in positions to have to do illegal things to end up in the cheapest factory ever, the prison system.
I'll tell you what, that was pretty impressive. You know, I hate to say this, Jim. Do you want to say something? What do you do after?
All right, there you go. Well, I don't think he's capable of putting enough people together to actually get that done, but we'll just have to see.
In terms of manufacturing jobs.
I think he could make a great announcement
about his own Yeezys, but we'll see.
Kim Gordon's got the news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in two.
Jimmy asked what you didn't say when you get onto the moon.
Well, we're not sure we're going to get onto the moon. Yeah. A lot of things have to go right before that happens.
Do you think you're coming back?
We have a real confidence in the mission, and there are some risks, but we have every intention of coming back.
But you might not.
That is Ryan Gosling.
Dreamy Ryan Gosling.
First man who was in the studio with us, sitting in the chair next to where Richard Roper is sitting right now. Not that I'll ever forget.
Judy took that chair, the one that he was sitting in, and has isolated it in the newsroom. No one's allowed to sit on it.
Judy took the day off today, and I went and stole the chair and brought it back in.
Good.
Here.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
I'm going to go sit
Although
on it later.
I do believe that Ryan's first words were, "Where's Anna?" when he walked in. A little disappointed to see.
I was super disappointed. To get a Ryan Gosling.
We'll get him back.
Studio.
He loves us.
Sure.
And we'll get him back.
Right
for
back.
You.
I heard he was super cool.
Now, the official review of First Man.
Yes. Let's talk about the masterpiece that is First Man. It is a 4-star film. It is, as Ro Khan himself, who knows more about NASA than half of the people that have worked at NASA, Ro Khan has said it is right up there, maybe the greatest movie ever made about the space race and about NASA. I'm with Ro. I put it right there with, you know, if you wanted it, to me, maybe the Holy Trilogy would be Right Stuff, Apollo 13, and now First Man. And there have been so many great documentaries and specials and everything. But the achievement here, the achievement to really place us in the 1960s, from 1961 through July of 1969, to recreate everything from the test launches, the setbacks, various missions, and the home life of Neil Armstrong and his family. It hits on all cylinders. At times, it is absolutely operatic on the level of 2001 A Space Odyssey. At other times, it's like you're watching a beautiful off-Broadway play about a husband and his wife trying to keep it together. I mean, it just, I think it works on every single level it can possibly work.
It's like 2001 meets Ordinary People.
It really is. That's actually a really good way of putting it. And you think about it, and you know, The Right Stuff did some of that too, and obviously Apollo 13, but you know, in the technology, Damien Chazelle has three major films. He did a small film, and then he did Whiplash. J.K. Simmons won Best Supporting Actor, got multiple Oscar nominations. Then he did La La Land, for which he won Best Director at the age of 32. And now he has done First Man. Can the guy do different genres? Can he do everything? Absolutely.
It's shocking. And he was sitting here, and you know, Ryan Gosling is dreamy and all that. And he's great. There's nothing wrong with Ryan Gosling.
Right, nothing.
I love Driver. I mean, to me, that's the movie where I was like, my daughter was like, God, I loved him in Notebook. The Notebook.
Oh, gosh. But, I forgot he was in that.
Yeah. But it was like, The Driver. He was, I mean, that was
brilliant
a
film.
Brooding, really artful film. And he just has to play this quiet, brooding guy. And it's kind of interesting because there's a little bit of that as he plays Neil Armstrong as a brooding super nerd.
More than a little of that, I think, honestly. I mean, the Ryan Gosling, as Ro just said, you know, his persona, and it's not that he's not a good guy, and it's not that he's not a solid guy, because he is. He's just not, you know, he's a guy that kind of, he's an introvert, and Neil Armstrong was. And they're, you know, they're interested in the mastering what they do a lot more than capitalizing on that. We actually have a clip here where they talked about filming the actual moon landing scene.
Shot an IMAX film, and which was itself kind of an amazing experience and opportunity to shoot. We shot it on a giant rock quarry out at night, lit by sort of a giant light off in the distance, simulating the sun.
Wow.
And so that was
which caught fire.
The light caught fire twice.
Oh, geez. Our cinematographer built this light. It was the most powerful movie light I think ever made.
Wow.
And then
there's a reason they don't make them that powerful, because they catch fire.
There is the one chance you'll catch on fire. Other than that, let's roll.
And they also went on to say that there were it started to snow a couple of times. Okay. So they had, cut! Didn't snow on the moon! Well, maybe. What do we know at this point? What's real and what's not? I'll tell you one thing. If they ever did want to stage a moon landing, this would be the movie because you really believe you're there.
Get Chazelle to do it. That's what they said.
Right?
By the way, get Chazelle to do it because we're going to Mars.
Here we go.
So he's reteaming with some of the same people from La La Land. Is there Oscar buzz around?
Oh, 100%. And especially in Roe, got a chance to see some of the sound editing, Anna. Like where 1 minute it is deathly quiet and then you get these kind of great operatic stuff. And then the feeling of being inside those shockingly small and fragile spacecraft of the time, and you just feel like you're really there with those guys.
We haven't seen everything yet, but they're just right now I can tell you they don't even have to have a best actor award this year, lead actor in a film performance or whatever they call that now. Dramatic performance.
Well, no, it's actor in a leading role.
Actor in a leading role for the Oscars. They're just going to package it up and mail it off because Vice, Dick Cheney, gets played by. I don't even want to. I don't want to say it because when you see it, you're going to be like, "Who's that actor?" Just look up. Just look up the movie spoiler? Vice.
Okay.
No, it's not a spoiler. It's Christian Bale as. But go look it up and tell me how that's Christian Bale. Just tell me how that's Christian Bale.
I did see him. You're right. Nothing and like him. Totally transformed.
And Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush. That movie is going to rake it in terms of acting performances just based on the commercial alone. They don't even have to have it. I mean, like, Flo's going to win it for Progressive. They're going to win it for that. Mail in the Oscars, but
I think we'll see. I think it's a little bit of an uphill climb to get people into that movie. To tell you the truth, I don't think that is going to be a huge success.
That's never stopped the Academy though.
Nowadays, that's a very different Academy. You know,
think so?
With the new 1,000 or so members who are much younger and more diverse. Look, we haven't seen it yet. I would say based on the
commercial,
the trailer, and the poster. Unbelievable.
I
would agree with you.
After a decade, I've broken him down, and I've gotten him to come over to my side.
I actually told Ryan Gosling that. I said, listen, this guy likes to review movies based on the trailers and everything, but he did get a chance to see some of the film. I will say this. I think Ryan Gosling has a chance to get nominated. It's not actually the kind of performance that wins an Academy Award because he's playing an understated guy, and it doesn't mean that it's not great acting, but of course, they do love the huge transformations when you gain the weight or you lose the weight. Or you look completely different, or you shave your head. You know,
I think just when they show the clip and the crowd's going to go nuts for it at the Oscars, that's the way it's going to be. Hey, but I will say this: that Damien Chazelle has a real shot because this is a really complicated film to direct.
Widely
I think he's
admired.
Got a shot at doing that. And the guy who could do La La Land and this
is amazing,
unbelievable. And
the one last thing, because we've been talking about all this political stuff, and we continue to. I got to say this very quickly too, because there was this big controversy before the movie came out, because they said, well, they don't show Neil Armstrong planting the American flag on the moon. This is an anti-American film. And I would say this is the most patriotic, pro-American, all-American film you could possibly see. First of all, they do show the American flag on the moon. Two different shots. Also, there are other scenes where they show the flag being raised. It is all about American ingenuity, about the Americans beating those damn Soviets, as we called them back then. It couldn't be a more four-star salute to the American men and women who made this happen. Yeah. So anybody who's saying, like, oh, I heard this is an anti-American film, they don't even show them planting the flag, it's madness.
Okay. Well, those are trolls. They're idiots. I mean,
the President of the United States said it sounded like a terrible film. And he would never see it.
He did say that.
He said terrible. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. Yes, because Fox News ran with the narrative that they don't show the scene of them planting the flag. Well, they don't show the scene of them planting the flag because they were showing
what's going on. I stand by my earlier comment. All right. Bad times at the El Royale. Can we hold on 1 second and do that?
Absolutely.
Seven strangers, each with a secret to bury.
Oh,
have one night figure it out.
Sounds like the Rokan show with Anna DeVlante.
That's what I said.
Kicking off at 3 every day.
Did you say that?
He totally used that line earlier.
Oh,
seven strangers,
there you go.
Each with a secret to bury, meet at a rundown hotel with a dark past, and on one fateful night, everyone will have a last shot at redemption. That happens every day here between 3 and 7.
So true. Right, some of us have more than one secret.
That's true, yeah.
Well, that's a lot.
Why don't you share what you do
still
now?
Still on the air.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 on WGN-TV.
Richard Roper is here. Bad times at the El Royale. A lot of, you've seen this commercial on television a lot, which means that they really want to sell it to you. Is it worth going to go see?
Yeah, I'm gonna say 3 stars. Ooh. For Bad Times at the El Royale. And it is.
Anna said she has no interest in it.
Yeah,
well, I said I have no interest until I hear Richard Roper's review.
I don't feel that it's something Anna's going to run out to see.
Yeah,
not just knowing what she likes, but yeah.
Do you use that word sick? That they're all talking
sick.
About?
Well, that's like a big poker thing. That hand was so sick, man. You're so sick. So
please tell me it was good, Richard.
It is good. 3 stars. Which is what I just said 12 seconds ago. I'm going to repeat for the kids out
there. Don't worry, they're the kids.
That's okay.
They just walked into the kitchen.
That's right. That's right.
Another Rich came by.
Is this on a scale of 1 to 5?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Okay, here we go.
Please try to behave.
About to go live in 3, 2.
Let him go.
3 stars for Bad Times at the El Royale. The El Royale is a hotel. This movie's set in 1969, and it's very Quentin Tarantino-esque. 7 different, as we've been talking about, 7 different people end up showing up there. They all have their own story, and we get those title cards that tell every person's story, and then eventually it all comes together.
Got it.
And the cast is amazing. John Hamm plays a vacuum cleaner salesman, kind of a motor mouth, slick-talking guy who has a completely different agenda. Dakota Johnson plays a hippie chick with a shotgun who has a girl in the trunk of her car for a reason.
Oh, wow.
Everybody has like different agendas. Jeff Bridges is a priest with a memory problem, which is great. So Father Flynn, but is Father Flynn really a priest? Do we know? And then who comes waltzing in with Chris Hemsworth, Thor himself, as the leader of a cult? A 1969-esque, Manson-esque cult, which gives Chris Hemsworth a chance to keep the shirt open while he dances around like Jim Morrison, but also creates all sorts of evil. And then everything kind of mushes and mashes together. And there's so much blood spilled in this movie that you will check your own clothes for stains on the way out. I mean, it is just absolutely hard R, grindhouse, drive-in type of fun. Way over the top, super violent, super edgy, cool music. And Drew Goddard, who wrote and directed it, this guy's done everything from Lost to the Buffy TV show. Super talented guy, so he's having a lot of fun.
Buffy is one of the underrated shows, though, right? The newer, the old Buffy.
The TV Buffy, yeah.
So the movie's good, is what you're saying.
Sarah and also going? Created Daredevil, the Netflix series, and has got a couple of big movies coming out right now.
Well, forget about it.
But you can just tell he's having a lot of fun. And I love the El Royale Hotel is set so that the line dividing Nevada and California goes halfway through the hotel. So when you check in, you tell them you want to stay at Nevada or California. California is $1 more because it's California. So they just have a lot of fun with that. But yeah, brutal and bloody.
Sick.
Yes, it's sick. It's so sick. So it's the kind of movie where some people are going to go in not knowing. They're like, oh, El Royale, that sounds classy. And they'll leave within 9 minutes.
Well, it starts with bad times. Yeah. So maybe read the whole title, people.
Yeah.
All right.
Do your research.
I do. Cool. Well, Tarantino-esque.
Yeah.
And it does look fun. And it's got John Hamm.
He's so good.
Yeah, he really is.
He can do no wrong. And that Chris Hemsworth, Thor, I got to give him credit. He's one of those guys. And it's great to see him using his golden locks and abs for evil instead of good for once. Mm. So
right, and I'm always now. Which one is he with?
He's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, because the Hemsworth brothers are each with starlets.
Gosh,
right?
I don't know who he's with. I know he's not with Chris Pine or Chris Evans or
no.
Chris Pratt.
No, there's a good no because there's the I get very confused because. You had Miley Cyrus was with one of them, right?
She was.
That's with Liam. From the Thunderdome movies with the
He's the thinner one.
Kitness,
he's like the
Kitness Katniss with the thing, and then Jason Momoa, who's Aquaman, is with Lisa Bonet.
Yeah, that's true.
Who used to be with Lenny Kravitz, whose mother was the mom on the Roper's television show, right? Or what?
Right.
I don't know who Chris Hemsworth with. What am I? What do I look like? BuzzFeed to you? I don't know. Is that a thing, Violetta BuzzFeed?
All right. Very quickly, I got to listen a minute here.
Okay,
this.
No problem.
The Hate U Give.
The Hate U Give is a very, very strong movie.
it looks like it was ripped from today's headlines, even though it's fictional. It's about a 16-year-old black girl who lives in an impoverished neighborhood but goes to a pricey, upscale college prep school. She's kind of got her feet in both worlds. A white police officer shoots an unarmed black man, and the whole community is up in arms. Again, it's fictional, but it will make you feel like it was literally taken from recent headlines here, and it's brilliantly done. You should check it out. 3.5 stars for The Hate You Give.
Oh, so interesting. All right, so yeah. 3.5 for that. So if I got to a double feature here.
Okay.
All right, First Man.
4 for First Man.
4 stars. That's out of 4, Violetta.
Yes.
4 out
That's
of 4.
That's good. That means it's good, Violetta. Right.
And then Bad Times at the El Royale, 3 stars.
And then The Hate You Give, 3.5.
3.5.
Nice.
Big weekend at the movies.
Chris Hemsworth married Elsa Pataky.
Oh, Elsa. She never called back.
Now, that's Ilsa's. Wait, Elsa and what's her sister's name?
That's Governor Pataki's grandniece. I'm making that.
No, he's thinking of Frozen.
Yeah, Elsa and
Anna from Frozen.
Elsa and Anna, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's not. Well, we got it all here. What a tree.
Sick. So sick, man.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what happens? Yes. Well, what happens on a Thursday? Here is we get a little dry on Thursdays, getting ready for Friday.
Are we though?
Yeah. Well, let's just tell everybody that. All right. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, everyone.
And by the way, thank you for helping arrange the Ryan Gosling, Damien Chazelle interview on Monday here. That was really something very special. That's up for podcast. If you'd like to listen to, if you'd like to hear the blue pools of Ryan Gosling's eyes dripping, you can hear that.
Do you feel it?
WGNRadio.com. You kind of do. You kind of do feel the whole thing happening. And then Judy wanting to come in and go, I'm Mrs. Robinson. She does that to all the
young
guys.
Oh,
jeez.
It's
crazy. I don't know what to do. All right. Well, thank you very much. Chicago Blackhawks hockey, my friends, is on the air. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3:00.